will talk about men on the mission.
Wow.
Now, what does it take to be a man on a mission? And this is what we're going to look at it, and just bear with me, be patient with me. I think before we talk about that, I think it's important for us to understand something here. Please open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 3 to 4, say, "This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth." Now, from this scripture, we need to understand that God has a plan. The plan is that every mankind must be saved. God wants everybody to have a relationship with Him. But God is amazing. God is a powerful God. He can just say, "Speaking my word, everybody will become believers." But this is not what God is doing. God has a plan A, and the plan A is to use disciples to make a difference.
That's right.
If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, God is calling you to help people to have a relationship with Him. But the question is, are you ready for that call? If you open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 12, sorry, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And we need to understand, if we're going to make this happen, to be men in a mission means that we need to be ready to go anywhere. Anywhere. Go anywhere. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you.'" In verse 4, the Bible says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran." I just want to ask the question, who is 75 years old here?
Mike.
Good to see you, bro. But think about this. You are 75 years old and God is calling you and say, "I want you to go to a mission team."
Come on, Mike.
No pressure. "I want you to go to a mission team." And I think your first question will be, "Okay, God, where?" I'll tell you, just go. Now guys, understand that God will ask some of us to go to different countries to help people to become disciples.
Right.
I believe not everybody's going to be called to go to other countries and make disciples. And maybe right now you're saying, "Araújo, I agree with you. I'm not that guy that's going to go out of this country." Right? But let's look at Matthew 28. In verse 19, the Bible says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now, Jesus now is coming saying, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." What I understand from these scriptures, Jesus saying, as you go with your life, make disciples.
That's right.
Go where? As you go from your house to your work, make disciples. As you go from home to school, make disciples. As you go from your home to the shop, make disciples.
That's right.
But my question is, how is it going with you? How is it going?
That's right.
Now guys, when God asks you to go, and I believe when God asked Abraham to go, I believe Abraham had some doubt in his heart. He was scared. Why I believe that? Because when Mike, even before he asked me to go to mission team to Angola, they asked me to go and start the Portuguese ministry in Pretoria. I was about 7 months disciple when I went to Pretoria to start the Portuguese ministry. It was scary. I don't know the Bible well, and it's going to be difficult. It was more intense when they said, now you're going to go to Angola, guys. Some of you guys, you know my story. The reason why I came to South Africa, I came here to be trained to become a terrorist. I did a lot of bad things in Angola. I killed people. I hurt people. And I knew, now that I'm a disciple, I don't have a gun anymore. As they get there with the Bible, this guy, they're going to shoot me. I was scared. In my own country.
Coming home.
But you know what? That was God's call.
Right.
And I needed to go.
Now,
guys, I'm not asking you right now to go and pack your stuff, get a passport and go. I'm asking you, are you making the step in your neighborhood?
That's right.
At work, does people even know that you're a Christian? Do you share your faith? You see, we are fired up. We say we're going to win Africa. For you to win Africa, you need to win your small world. This is what it takes. Because you think, no, you know what? I'll be different when I go to that country. What you are here, what you're doing here today is what you're going to do there. The difference that you're going to get in the aeroplane and going somewhere else. You will be the same person.
That's right.
You need to start right here.
That's right.
My question, my brother, is how is it going? I really believe we're going to win this world when all of us make a decision. I'm willing to go anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Anywhere. Anywhere. Now, the second thing, men in a mission needs to be willing to do anything. Anything. Open your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 1. Now we know the situation. Nehemiah is in Susa, working good job with the king. Jerusalem is destroyed. And his brother goes to visit him. And Nehemiah wants to know. He wants Neil from home. He asked about Jerusalem, and the brothers are saying, you know what? Jerusalem is in disgrace. The halls are down. The gates are burned down. People are in great disgrace. In chapter 2, we see Nehemiah there. In verse 17, Nehemiah seeing all these things, and things were down. But I was asking myself, when Nehemiah went to Jerusalem, people were living there, right? They were living there. Why then, those people were living there, they didn't stand and say, you know what, let's fix our own country.
That's right.
Why do you not say that? I believe they were very comfortable.
That's right.
As long as not my heart that is broken down, we're okay. And spiritually speaking, I believe some of us are in that place. As long as I'm a disciple, it's not my problem that guy going to hell. We are acting like everybody in Cape Town is saved. This is why you are comfortable. It doesn't bother you. But the reality is, guys, they are family that are being destroyed. Marriage are destroyed. Young guys are in drugs. You watch the news. You know it. And maybe you know somebody in your family that needs help. And yet you're very comfortable. And we say we're going to win Africa. We are very comfortable. I don't know if you guys facing this problem. When I went to Pretoria, the church was totally divided. We will fight against each other. It is amazing. You say something wrong, it was the reason for somebody to leave. I've seen situations where a brother said, because my son is not, you're not speaking Afrikaans with my son in the class, I'm leaving this church. Guys, I'm not South African. English is not my first language. And yet sometimes I find brothers speaking their own language in front of me, because I need to do anything to advance God's kingdom. I don't use that as a reason to say, you know what, guys, you guys speak in Sotho, Zulu, whatever, I'm leaving this country. Gently, I'll go to them and say, guys, I want to be part of this conversation. Can you guys please speak something that you can understand? We have a problem. Because you guys don't sing Afrikaans here, I'm leaving. What is that?
That's right.
Instead of you doing everything to unite the kingdom and so that we can win more people, we are getting distracted with language and race and things like that.
That's right.
Oh no, in this church there's so many white. Why do you see color? Why don't you say my brother?
That's right.
I'm so challenging the church in Pretoria because I remember the history of this church in Pretoria. There were 95% different race than black people. Brothers from different races, they made every effort to make sure that different races would come to the church. And today the church is 95% more pepper than salt. And I said, guys, this is our time to go out and do what the brother did for us. Are you uniting the kingdom and preparing it for the mission? Let me ask you this question. I just want to be very honest with you. Let's say God separates you to go to the mission field, and you are different right from that group. Will you fight for God's kingdom or you refuse the calling? You see, in Nehemiah, you see those people, they're very comfortable, and some of us were very comfortable. But when Nehemiah said, let's rebuild the city so that we cannot be in this shame, those people got motivated, right?
That's right.
They said, let's do it! Let's do it! And you remember, if you read chapter 3, you will notice that people were rebuilding. They're not in the construction companies. Some guy there, he was a perfume maker. Now that guy had all the excuse to say, guys, I'm not a bricklayer. I make perfume. You go and work, take a shower, I'll offer you perfume. Right? There was a guy, he didn't have men in the house. He said to the girls, it's time for you guys to help me out here.
That's right.
The girl didn't say, Daddy, this is a man's job. We need to go. We want to mess up our nails here. No. They went and they did the job.
That's right.
Now, I have a question that is coming for you. What is your excuse today?
Come on.
Oh, I'm not an evangelist. Jesus never said, therefore evangelists go and make disciples. That's not what he said.
Come on.
If you're Jesus' disciple, you need to go and make disciples.
Right.
You need to do anything.
That's right.
You know what? When they select the mission team to go to Angola, I was a disciple for 2 years now. We got three brothers, calling myself, we didn't have a sister. No one wanted to go. There was this girl. Her father was the Minister of Defense in Angola. And Angola was in war. She was a disciple for a month. She said, send me. I'll go with you guys. She quit school. We go to Angola. We're in the street evangelizing. Her dad is driving. He sees the daughter, stop the car, say, what are you doing here? She said, I came to plant a church. He said, with who? With those guys. They called us. And said, guys, by next week, if my daughter is not back in South Africa, you guys are going to join army. You can see the brother. We were terrified. Now, guys, it was a mistake, really, to take her out of school. She was a disciple for a month to go out. But here's the point. She was willing to do anything for God's kingdom. Now, I'm not asking you to leave school. You can make disciples right there. Some of us, you're saying, hey, you know what? I'm old now. My kids are out of the house. an empty nest here. I have all the time. You know what? Yes, you have all the time. You're supposed to make more disciples. Right? We need to do anything for the mission. What is your excuse? My wife, she had a good job. She has a lot of things. And she went to a mission team to Malawi.
Amen.
And because they say, you know what? Jesus said, don't take anything. She took with her 50 rand. And she was in Malawi.
Amen.
She was willing to sacrifice and do anything for God's kingdom.
Amen.
Guys, we need to do anything that it takes for the mission.
Amen.
Anything! I sat down with my wife and I told her, you know what? We can negotiate about anything, but except one thing. One, there's no negotiation. And that thing is, if God tells us to move tomorrow, we are moving. We are moving.
Mm-hmm.
I can bet you that. If God tells me, Arawuju, after Cape Town, go home, you move, we'll move. No questions. Where are we going to stay? What are we going to drive? What are we going to take? We are going. That thing we know, we're going.
Amen.
We were in Mozambique. We arrived. We bought new couches. We bought the RAV4, nice car. After 6 months, we got a phone call. Guys, you guys are moving to South Africa. Okay, love, we're moving. What are we going to do with the car? We'll leave it with the brother, sell it, and send the money. What about the sofa? Leave it. We left everything. And what we have here, God always blesses. A brother came and said, I can borrow you my sofa. We have sofa. They borrow us. We still with that sofa. And it's good that it's borrowed, because when they say, I don't move, I say, bro, come and take your sofa. Right? Come and take your sofa. Are you ready to go and do anything? Some of you just say, I'm willing to give my finances. You know what, guys, we give our finances. Wow, it's not about your finances only. Give and go. Do something. If you say, I'm willing to give my contribution, let someone go. It's like you're a member of a club, you know, you just give me your contribution and then I'll sit and watch the game. No, brother. We need to be ready to go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Please be patient with me, don't sleep. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. This is Paul. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jew. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though myself I'm not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but under God, under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law, to the weak I become weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. My brothers, my point is, Paul was ready to do anything to see people have a relationship with God. Anything. He said, bro, are you a Gentile? I'm a Gentile. You know what? My wife is pure Africanist. She born here in Montiki. Now, my first son is very pepper like me. Every day he change. On Monday he says, I'm white. On Tuesday he says, I'm black. And I'm like, why are you saying that? No. My mom is white. When I want to be white, I become white. My dad is brown. When I want to be brown, I become brown. I'm like, wow. This guy, where is getting this thing? And he tells this student to school. soul. And they say, no, you are black. Why you say I'm black? Why? Come and see my mom.
My brothers, my point is this.
Don't just try to say, because I'm black, I'm going to evangelize only black. No. You are a human being. Okay? You're a human being. Just evangelize anybody, anywhere. Just do what God's asking you to do. Just do that. Just do that. Oh no, I need to save my own people. My own race. God's not calling you to do that. Anybody in front of you, just do it. This mission is not going to be accomplished if we are not willing to do everything. If you're not willing, you know we're going to fail. We won't. My brothers, my encouragement to you, let's have this mindset. God called me for a mission, for a purpose. We need to do something. You don't have to turn there. In Philippians chapter 1, we know Paul was in jail. In verse 12, actually Paul was talking about the guys in jail. How many of you have been in jail?
Cape is a nice city.
Guys, before I became a disciple, I was in jail for 6 months in Sun City, in Soweto.
Are we going to talk about this next time?
But this is the thing. When you're in jail, you're depressed. You feel sorry for yourself. You know, you blame other people than your own sin. And yet, Paul, he's Paul. He didn't do anything wrong. He's in jail. He's supposed to start thinking, man, am I going to be alive? They're going to kill me. When is this going to happen? He said, no. God actually used that for a good reason. For me to share the good news. And everybody, they had the good news. In jail. Imagine, the God is coming. Hey, Paul, how you doing? Jesus loves you. Think about that. This guy is in jail, he's sharing his faith, and he was more fruitful than all of us here.
That's right.
And every day we say, I'm a free man. But yet, you're not sharing your good news. You know what, my brother? God put you in certain places for you to make a difference. To make a difference.
That's right.
God, he didn't say, therefore go and make money. No. He said, therefore go and make disciples.
That's right.
You see, the money that you get is just bonus. Alright? God just wants to make you sure that you're going to have something to eat, some car to drive. But the main purpose is for you to make disciples. To make disciples. Guys, we are too comfortable. We are not willing to do everything. We are too busy in building our own kingdom.
Yeah,
our own kingdom, not God's kingdom. I just wanna, if you remember, there's a scripture in the book of Agai, chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. Those people, they're saying, this is the time for us to build great houses for us, right?
Yeah.
It's not time to rebuild God's kingdom. And God said, no, go and tell them this is the time to rebuild God's kingdom. Pay attention how you live in your life. I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you building God's kingdom or are you building your own kingdom? What are you building? If God tells you tonight, leave your house, go to different city or different country, what your reaction will be? What excuse are you going to give to God? What is your excuse? Are you even willing to move to different neighborhoods? When you grow up, are you willing to go there? Or you forgot the road? You don't even remember. Bro, where are you from? Somebody said I'm from Monte Key. Or Pau? Where is there to Pau? I don't know. Don't ask me. Why are you asking those questions? Send somebody else. Guy, this is the time. Amen?
Amen.
Lastly, man in a mission means give up anything. You need to be willing to give up anything. Anything. Anything means anything. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 28. Now, Jesus is really challenging people to follow him, and this rich guy wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus challenged him. The guy was very sad. He doesn't go with Jesus, and Jesus was saying, you know what, it's difficult for a rich to go to be part of God's kingdom, right?
Yeah.
And Peter like, who's going to make it then? People ask him. And in verse 28, Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. We have left everything to follow you. You know what? Peter was an amazing man. He left everything. And Jesus, hey, I love about Jesus, he encouraged you and then he challenged you. He said, anyone who left everything for me, you'll get 100 brother, 100 house, and persecution. And guys, this is true. You know what? What I like about Jesus, he tells you the truth up front. He doesn't tell you, no, everything's going to be fine, just go, you know. No, no, no. He tells you, you're going to be persecuted.
Yeah.
You will. You will face persecution. It's part of the mission.
Yeah.
If no one is persecuting you, that is not a mission. It's not a mission. And guys, we need to be willing to leave everything, to give up anything. You know, some of us, the reason why you don't want to go is because you love your car a lot. A lot. And it's sad. Your God becomes your car. Your house becomes your God. Now guys, I'm not saying don't have a house. I'm not saying this. In Pretoria, brothers, they came to me and said, Araújo, we need to build our own building. We want the building. How can we do that? I say, easy. I have a solution. How many of us here bought a house? Everybody. Yeah, I have mine. It's 2 bedroom. I say, okay. How many of you bought a house? You all have a swimming pool. How many of you here can swim? Why did you buy a house with a swimming pool? Go and sell it. Buy a smaller house or a flat. That swimming pool, I love that swimming pool. But you want the building. Bro, downgrade.
Yeah.
You driving 4x4? Go and get a small Nissan and then bring the money to church for us to build.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, guys, we want great things to happen, but we're not willing to give up everything. In fact, what we give to God is the leftover. We're going to donate that phone.
asking.
My brothers, this is what is going to take to be a man on a mission. Go anywhere, do anything, give up anything. But the question is, are we ready for the mission? I want to close with this. Are you ready for the mission? Are you going to be the one who says, you know what? I'm going to go and do what God wants me to do. It doesn't matter my circumstances. It doesn't matter my age. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. If we do that, believe me, God will do amazing things to this city, to this continent, and to the world. To God be the glory. Thank you.